Mel Poole. Greg Johnson.
Here.
Marie Williams.
Here.
George Vitale. Chris Wilson.
Here.
Okay, and next on the agenda is approval of minutes. Have you guys read them and your thoughts? The only thing I had, there was a couple things left off, but she'll correct that for next time on the comments and that stuff, so.
Yeah, I browsed them. Other than that, I didn't see anything that stood.
All right, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second?
A second.
All right, they've been approved. No public comments. No person wishing to appear. Do we have any unfinished business that we need to talk about? Kathy, do we have any unfinished business that you know of that we need to talk about?
Not that doesn't come under one of the cash reports.
All righty. Okay. No, our new business was election of a chairman, and Mel's not here.
My motion to do that to the next meeting, for sure, and make sure Mel comes next time. That's my motion.
So we can't make him chair if he's not here.
Who is the chair? Mel's the chair right now.
I thought we elected him chair.
Well, he's kind of the interim. He agreed to be the interim, if that's how that can work.
We had two meetings.
When?
In the last meeting, when he was first meeting to be chairman, he didn't show up.
Because, what's his name, Jim Cullop just quit.
Okay, so Mel became the chairman, and you're the vice chairman from the last year.
Oh, you see
here. Time to elect you again.
I had never been vice. We kind of both went to
you
the interim.
You kind of volunteered. Okay, I'm with you.
We both went to interim, so this was...
Well, it looks to me like Mel should be chair, and George should be vice chair. That's what you get. Okay. But you made a motion to table it?
Yeah, until next meeting, for sure. Right. And let's finalize next meeting.
My second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the next one is Mr. Clark for the Pine Oaks report.
Oh, wow.
Hey. This is quick.
You're doing a great job. You're moving all nice. I'm not even ready. No, I'm ready. I won't be too long-winded, I promise.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, last meeting we talked about... already happened. Educational was a success again. The numbers were a little down. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. We moved it up because of Easter, and that kind of hurt us a little bit. A couple of events conflicted with it, but it was still a good event. We've had a pretty good winter so far. I would say that we are. I would say we're flat as far as our numbers. The rounds are actually, for us, are actually down somewhat. A little, probably about 5% for the fiscal year that we're currently in. But my revenue's flat, so I guess that's a good thing. It's kind of like when you play match play, if you half a hole, that's a win. So that's kind of where we are. If we can just do what we did last year, we're very pleased. Just don't want to keep going down. We did our chip coat choice. I think most courses do that. That's your mole cricket. That's the major mole cricket preventative application that most golf courses do to keep the mole crickets out. It's quite an expensive project, but it's something we budget for every year, and we just have to do it. We will be aerifying our greens on May the 24th. That was the only date I could hit. And when you have all these events, because we're hosting the Marion Masters Qualifier on the 14th of May, so it's kind of tough to airfry right before that. So we're going to do that, and we're going to take a look at it. If the health of the greens are normal, we probably will also treat them for nematodes, which is something that you have to do as well. It's part of the deal. And probably the best time to do that is towards the end of May also. You want to wait till the soil temperatures get warm enough to where most of them are up, you know, close to the top, so when you do the treatment you get a better kill on them. You can go too early and it won't be as effective, and then it wears off by the time you get into your summer months. And you're only allowed to do it once a year by law, so you have to time it just right. We're going to do that, and I'm going to keep my report short today. That's about all I got. If anybody's got any questions, be happy to entertain those.
All the tournaments went well, you said?
Yeah, the tournaments went well.
Marion Masters.
Marion Masters is coming up. That'll be coming.
Okay.
As far as our problematic green, I mean, we've got several problematic greens, but our major, the worst one is number five. Our plan this season, the last year, we made it a temporary. We're going to kind of just keep playing golf on it, but we're going to continue to nurse it. We're going to top dress it heavy very frequently. So the players probably can understand putting a little bit of sand on that one green. So we'll keep it top dressed and watered and really be very aggressive with fertilization, you know, keeping it fertile, keeping the nitrogen on it. And I think, you know, hopefully doing that, we can get it to grow back in a little bit better this summer. That's our plan. So we're gonna try that, see, versus just outright closing it.
Sounds good. I'm sorry, Captain.
No, go ahead.
I interrupted you again. Marion Masters Senior, is that the one you had earlier in the year?
That was in February. Yeah, I guess that's better.
That's what I read. That's
that's the joint tournament. Yeah. Both courses, Ocala.
Oh, okay. And I just noticed that.
Yeah, that's in February. That was a good tournament too. I'm trying to remember the number on that. It seemed like it was in the 80s or 90s.
Was it cold?
No, we had good weather this year. Yeah, we had good weather. Yeah. Seems like Bill Zylstra won that one. Yeah. No, actually, Berger won that one. Berger won. Berger won that. And then Bill won the senior division in the Pioneer Invitational. So, and David Griffin won the regular division. He actually had three divisions in that tournament.
Berger won. He used to win the camp a lot.
Yeah, he's won it.
Like four or five times or something?
Berger's only won the camp one time.
Yeah. He was up there a lot, I guess. I used to see his name all the time.
Oh, yeah. He always challenges for it, so.
Okay, I'm done.
I just wanted to point out that we are still continuing to pursue options on renovation of the course, the upgrade to the irrigation system, and rebuilding the greens. So we're going to be setting up a meeting with you for next week to kind of talk through. I have to have a report to city manager's office the beginning of May, so we need to run down what the different options are.
Yeah, that's one thing that I didn't include. I wasn't sure I was at liberty, but we had a meeting, it's been a month or so ago now, and I've been here 15 years, and it was the best meeting I've ever been in.
Wow,
it was some really, really good positive talks and remarks about you know, the future of Pine Oaks. For me personally, it was very encouraging, and I think the community as a whole is going to appreciate it too. In the long run,
that would be great.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, I'm in a dead end street. I don't know how much longer we keep hanging on, but it's really, really, it was very encouraging. You know, something may happen, something may not. You know, the talk won't get on the street.
So you have to come up, it's kind of like Muni, you have to come up with the cost, and then the board has to approve it. I mean,
city
council.
Yeah, there's a, you know, the concern out here has been what's happening around Pine Oaks and whether the city wanted to make investments that, and then 2 years later someone comes and does some kind of development that changes the course all around. Yeah. So we've just decided after review, and you know what I'm talking about, it has to do with the inland port and the plans for the industrial complex over there. And so we just feel like after seeing
the railroad,
FedEx, you're talking about FedEx and all that?
Yeah, well, the inland port is actually here on this side, but it would support the FedEx thing. Right. But anyways, the city has had a feasibility study done, and we feel pretty confident that it will be some time before we would be in a position to move forward with that kind of project. So the types of investments we're talking about making here at Pine Oaks, you know, they have a 5 to 10 year useful life anyways. So we feel like we're okay moving forward with that now. Now it's just a matter of how to finance it. How do we pay for that? What does it look like? Do we do it in one fell swoop, or do we split it up? And if we do split it up, what's the best way to handle that? Because then you also have to factor in business loss over more than 1 year.
Right.
So it all has to play in. So our next step is to sit down with Clark and just talk through what some of that looks like. Once we come up with a plan, then our auditor will take it apart for us. So. It will at least give them something to start.
I met the auditor, by the way. He's playing in my Wednesday night league. Oh, yeah. Now, that's one thing I would like to report on. Our Wednesday night league is really doing good. We got 88 players there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's full. My limit was 80, and they kept signing up, and it's hard to turn people down.
Yeah,
we had to cut them off somewhere, but it's really, that's a good league.
It's a popular league. You've been doing that a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have another group that's called the Heimbach group. They kind of hung on. We let them play anyway, even though our league's going on. They have a type, you know, them guys. So they have, including them, we have about 100 players on Wednesday, which is kind of nice on Wednesday afternoon.
I mean, and your invitational that you had Stephanie Pick play, the girl, and your invitational on the
Stephanie played. She absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
And a couple of other juniors played too.
I saw her Saturday night, and she was.
She's playing in our Wednesday league.
Yeah.
Her daddy gave her permission.
She could. If that's all, Clark, then we'll go to Ocala Golf Club. Jason.
Thanks. I'll start with rounds. We are to date from November, from October through, we're just 1,800, we're over 1,800 rounds ahead of prior year. We are also ahead prior year by $30,000 in revenues. So I will note, since it was a question last time, we're comparing apples to apples. The golf course was in great shape this time last year. It wasn't until May until the course deteriorated when Emerald Greens came out by our nation. So, you know, we're really apples to apples. Some of the biggest improvements we're seeing is in the food and beverage. That's starting to kick in. When I go into the report of what we have booked coming up, that will be we've got an exciting May coming up. Where we're seeing a lot of, we have of those rounds, I told you 25,000 rounds total year to date, almost 3,400 is outing rounds, which is ahead of budget by 887. We are ahead of public rounds by 518 year to date. Where we're trailing a little bit is in the member rounds, but that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. Some of the displacement of those rounds is because of the outings that we have on weekends where they can't play and stuff like that. But, you know, it's really not a bad thing. That's probably why some of the revenues are up there. So we have our membership is pretty much all of the ones that are going to renew have renewed. And we are signing up some new ones with the new program. And I worked right about it, the same numbers were last year, about 100. So as far as golf outings, in the past, since we last met, we had three big events. We had the Moot, we had the Marion. Some other big ones was the AJGA, which is the big junior event. We also had the IMG, which is another big junior event, which is a tour event. Over 14 countries were represented there. And these juniors are literally, the IMG, not only will you see them in collegiate, but you'll probably see them on tour. And the AJGA, if I say that right, is strictly what they do is they raise money for scholarships for golfers. So it was a great program. A little note there on the AJGA, even though there's a little bit of a loss of money and revenue by having that tournament, we did have our biggest green fee card fee ever since Casper's been there. We did over 4,000, and it was mainly because the juniors, because we gave the golf course away to the juniors for a lower rate, they paid a normal practice round rate, and then with the parents we really were getting $35 a round, so, which was nice. So there's nothing really happening this week, it's just the camp.
Just
a little tournament.
Yeah,
we did have a nice ladies event. I don't know if you were going
to make a report. Yeah, go report.
I won't say too much, but I will say that the food was, we did do the food there. Excited about the camp. We are doing the steaks. We are doing the ham, so we got the whole food in this thing, which is going to translate to about $10,000 when we're all said and done. And I have no idea what the booze number will end up, but we're going to set the grill and the bar will be open outside. We'll be set up outside and we'll run from sun up to sundown. And we'll slide on their patio if there's any inclement weather, but we're really looking forward to this camp. I have a chef, Chef B, who's been doing a wonderful job for me, and we're getting great reviews. We've had a couple of weddings under our belts now, and they've all left very happy.
Great.
So what's coming in May is go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What does it cost to play in the camp? Does each, I know it's invitational.
$225.
Is it? Okay. So it's a big money maker.
Well,
just
yes, because of the numbers.
Yeah,
because of the numbers. They have 192 golfers.
Right.
So we don't get a lot of money per se. Now per golf. Now I'm not going to complain because when you look at the golf and then you look at the gift certificates, they're almost comparable. So you get $21 a head per round.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for your car fee and a dollar for a range.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to get per day, per golfer, which is still better than any normal day we do just because they have 192.
It's full, right? 3 days you play at the camp?
3 days. And then they have the Am-Am on Thursday, which is it's 100 players.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be about 90. And then they have food.
Right.
Then, but where we really make it is on the other side. The gift certificate, the prize.
Yeah.
And that's what they intentionally do. That thing is a lot goes to gift certificates. I don't want to say it. I think it's $25,000 worth of gift certificates that are going to go out with these prizes. So, and I think that's why this is a very attractive tournament. So it all comes in. It just comes in different avenues.
Okay.
So
it's good. But I'm just always curious at what it costs.
And like I was talking in our meetings, if the moot grows like it did this year, did grow a little bit this year, it was up into the 80s, which was nice. If that gets into the hundreds, then that's a very good money. It's a break even as opposed to if I was not open to the public that day, I'm going to make the same amount of money, as far as I'm saying. So the camp's going to take, we literally close the whole day for it. So.
Do they get a free practice round or what? How does that work? On Thursdays, like the AM, they pay for that also?
That's paid.
It's also $21.
Yeah, it's paid. And then they have practice round rates that they'll play afterwards. And they've been playing since last week, actually.
Great.
But anyway, just nothing big. We do have a new. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We have another. I signed on a new league. Going a league over, I guess, was a different golf course. It's called E1. It started on the 7th. There's 52 players, and that's that equate after about $15,000 for the whole league, considering they play every Thursday. So
emergency one league we're talking.
Yeah. They were at Silk Shores, I guess.
They were at Stone Creek, right?
Stone Creek,
yeah. Because where I used to work yesterday, we played the league on Thursday, and they were always there the same night. That's why I was surprised. So they switched to Muni. That's good.
Yeah, we bid them out.
Yeah. Their league was a lot bigger than ours.
They drink too. They actually put a beverage cart. We actually sell something.
Oh yeah.
It's really money. Put a beverage cart out there, and then you
it comes in $12.
Just real quick, what's coming up? We're air flying on the 30th of May.
30th of May.
Yeah, May 30th and 31st. The big thing for us in May, we have weddings, which is one of the, this is where the first bit of the sales since I've taken over really is hitting. So I have some good stuff coming in. But the Symphony Under the Stars, which is on Mother's Day, which is the 8th, we're going to be able to sell booze. We have the booze concession this year, which could be huge. I'm not sure, but it could be. I mean, so let me just say this. I didn't make a penny on this thing in the past, so if I sell one beer, I'm mad.
And that's very much a penny yourself.
No, I don't say that. I'm counting on a lot of wine and beer going. Has anyone been to that?
Yeah, I was there last year.
We go every year.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I was amazed. I walked out on the driving range, and there's like a little living room set up.
Oh, yeah.
They're really into this.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
They bring everything but the kitchen sink, and yeah, I'm sure they would if they could. Outside of that, that's.
Is that it, Jason?
Well, you can. You know, you need to shut me up. But I mean,
two questions. The revenue year to date is from October on, right?
Yes.
And it's up. The revenue over last year is up $30,000.
Over 30, plus we didn't have 10 days, I'll remind us that we did.
Yeah, so you caught up some in the first quarter, yeah, that's good.
On the company outing, you might have mentioned it, sorry if I missed it, but when you have a company outing, like a scramble on a Sunday, is that better than a normal day of golf? Is that a good moneymaker? Because I know you have a lot of them.
I will tell you, there's a couple here that we won't invite back.
Okay.
I mean, we took on some new ones this year. And if they don't hit numbers and things, we mark in the calendar whether we'll invite them back. Or we'll tell them, if you come back, this is your price. I mean, we're just not going to.
Yeah. Do you get a guarantee on them?
We get a guarantee up to 7 days prior, according to our contract. So,
yeah.
We can, in some areas, you go after them, but you be a little careful, because sometimes it's just the outing coordinator who just happens to be in there, and you're going after him, and he doesn't have the money.
Yeah.
Now, if he collects the money, I certainly would go after him and stuff like that. But it's not, you see the circumstances. We do call, we're 2 weeks, 5 in, and 3 days out, is when we try to get the final count. But even with that happening, there's a couple events that we're just not going to invite back just because they're saying we're going to be this.
Yeah.
I won't name them for obvious reasons, but then they walk in with something totally different. And you're like, I mean, all you had to do is tell me.
Yeah.
I did change my policies. I won't sell a golf course, the whole golf course, unless it's 100.
Okay.
I won't guarantee them the whole golf course unless it's 100.
Okay, that's good.
There's been a couple courses, that we're getting the whole golf course for 72. That was part of a contract that they had written in.
I see.
And I won't mind you, I just don't. If it's politically charged, I change.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Don't we all?
That's good. Yeah, I was just curious.
Stepping on the gas there. Yeah, I don't know.
I was just curious because occasionally we'll call and you're having an outing, right? So we can't play. So we call somewhere else. But, that's all good as long as you're making money and I'm happy.
Well, I'm not going to say there's a couple outings where we could have made more money and we just had what they said.
Yeah.
I mean, I had one tournament walk in here with contract, says 9 o'clock they're supposed to tee off. And they all showed up for 10 o'clock shotgun. Mm-hmm. And that was big enough to really. Mm-hmm. Here's the good news, it rained. They played, no one else showed up. So I got lucky, but that's luck. But I was, I'm going, oh my God, when 2 o'clock comes around and all the officers come
in. 10 o'clock shotgun.
Yeah, who does that?
You don't do that.
Nobody in the right line.
Late,
if it's modified, maybe, and it's forward, and then you have no problem. But at the same token, that's one that has the yellow flag. That's one of them I mentioned. So, and the other one is 2 years in a row. They kind of they in 3 days in advance saying we have this many. I didn't lose too much money on that, but I just don't. They're not going to. You just got to be honest. I mean, straight out.
Okay.
At
the last
questions,
Jason.
Nope.
Just on the bottom line, year to date, fiscal year to date, where is the golf course and where? Where's the F&B?
The F&B.
Pan those around. I think this is going to help you. It's not going to help you for this meeting, but I'm hoping you had asked for a report because, and I kind of listened to both of their reports this time, and we hear about the revenues, but we don't hear about the expense. And so if you report that revenues are up, but we don't know what happened to your expenses, we don't know what that did to the bottom line. Mm-hmm. This is just a draft. So I drafted a blank that I'm hopeful. Did you grab one of them?
I did. I'm sorry.
I drafted a report that and we can modify this, that I was thinking maybe each of them could prepare to bring to the meetings.
Mm, good.
So that it would give you all an idea of where they sit year to date at each of the quarterly meetings. As far as what they report to me, Billy Casper's contract requires them to report monthly, and they do that. Clark's contract requires him to report annually, or more often if we request it, but we typically don't. So we can talk about this now, or you all can take it and think about it, and you can either email me what other things you'd like to see on this report. I feel like they did report a lot of this stuff, so if you feel like you don't really need it in writing, but that you want them to follow this guideline in making their report to you, we can go that route, whatever your preference is.
Well, years ago, when I was on the board, we used to get these statements at all the meetings, at the meeting that we'd have, you know, years ago.
Right, and that's when the city was preparing financials for the golf fund.
Yeah, I'd like to see a P&L on that, that's really all I'm aware
of. I mean, Jason pretty much said these numbers, right? Remember rounds out and rounds?
Yeah, the only thing we didn't talk about is the expense part on either side. We didn't talk about the expense, and so what the bottom line looks like. We just talked about growth and revenue, and then why we were seeing that growth and revenue. So whatever, we're open to whatever you all think you need.
That's fine. Either way, the P&L is fine, or this is fine. Either way is good. But I'm just curious: are we bottom line right now? How are we in the first 6 months?
And through March, now that I got here, I am now 1,000 under budget in expenses. And
so, what does that look like overall? What is your number? Where are we in April?
Yeah, we're
okay,
in April.
So you haven't reported March's numbers yet, but where are you?
Which I have.
So through
where we to our budget, we were going to be at a $2,000 profit at this point. We are still at a $35,000 loss, but we got everything back to our budget numbers. So that will be a miss. That's the miss in revenue to budget, not in the expenses. We have a hefty food and beverage, which would have had us selling weddings at a higher rate, you know, earlier on with the renovations.
So what are they losing on the F&B side in the first 6 months of the year?
Total, I don't have those numbers. I would have to sit here and have a calculator and add everything up here. The other thing, we don't have a food and beverage manager. I failed to mention that she resigned.
Probably good thing.
January.
Good salary.
Yeah, which is one of the savings. So food.
I mean, I'm just saying, again, F&B and the golf courses are a traditional loser. It's so easy to ship that out. If you can ship it out, ship it out. I mean, why are we running F&B?
Well, it is shipped out.
To who?
To Billy Casper Golf. And so the whole, you know how we ended up with a golf course management company as we were going to contract out the food and beverage. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to contract out the food and beverage. We had the maintenance contracted out, and we're like, well, if we're going to manage all these contracts, why don't we go with one contract that handles the whole thing? And that's how we ended up with
it. But you're still responsible for the loss. I mean,
sure. But even with the food and beverage, and we have put food and beverage out before, by the way, by itself, and didn't get a single person to bite at it. And so part of it has to do with the upgrades that are required to make it a full-scale kitchen, and the parking was a major issue the first time we put it out. Because if that golf course is full, then, you know, it's hard to run a restaurant operation and you don't have a parking lot. So the food and beverage, and we can give you those numbers. We can give you a, you know, they report percentages, and this report probably doesn't have it, but on cost of goods sold, both at the pro shop level and at the food and beverage level. So we can get you those numbers. And then there are certain line items. I mean, they have it broken out by store on the more detailed report. So we can show you what are all the costs associated with food and beverage, and then what are the revenues. The report he's looking at right here is a summary report that just has one line item for each.
We are currently at a $12,000 loss.
For F&B.
For F&B.
So, Chris, you're saying generally food and beverage is always a loss?
Well, they're at $12,000 for the six good months of the year. Yeah. So the six, quote, bad months of the year, I mean, that's going to probably be increased.
food and beverage in general is a loss typically, and we've known this. We did a study one time for both golf courses. We could make more money selling crackers and sodas out of the pro shop than offering a food and beverage operation. But there's a...
So that would be why you could never really outsource it by itself, right? Who's going to take it if it's a loss?
But at Ocala Golf Club, we have a banquet hall as well. So what we realized is that the money is in the food and beverage, not in the banquet hall rentals. We always just rented the banquet hall. Well, you don't make money off of that. Our power and upkeep of that facility is more than what we're renting it for.
Okay.
And so that's when we decided we needed a food and beverage operation that would pull it all together. And had we had that banquet hall done in time, we've just now, what are we, maybe 2 months into being open for truly open for business there, and being
kitchen.
Able to go out after more,
the weddings and
the bigger that we're offering the food and beverage on. We had the weddings there before, but they brought a caterer in. So their caterer was making all the money, and we were giving the facility away for $700.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to turn around.
I see.
And who knows? I mean, we'll go a year into this, and you know, once we get a full solid year under our belt, and then we'll have.
What's the top line? Just curious, first 6 months, what's the top line on F&B?
$94,000.
$94,000 for the first 6 months of the year? Okay. That includes everything?
Mm-hmm.
And how many rounds?
Yeah.
But some of that isn't related at all to rounds, right? So that's where we're hoping to capitalize on having a catering kitchen in the facility. You know, we put the money into getting the dishes that we need and the pots and pans we need and the storage equipment and the sinks. And so now we have a true catering kitchen in there, and hopefully we can make the money on the food and beverage that isn't golf related. Most golf courses, unless you're a country club or something, you don't have that, the overhead we have from that large facility. So we're just trying to find a way to try to make some money off of that part of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, they love liquor, because adding liquor over the last couple of years made a difference in the liquor sales, the alcohol sales. So
the biggest challenge is, and where we've met it and actually had some success, is only in the last couple of months when we put D on board and we started doing breakfast sandwiches that are pre-made that we're making and wrapping up and keeping them heated. Now we're selling, that was $2,000, $1,700 to be exact, the bagel, sausage, egg and cheese, things, that was $2,000 in the month of March.
Total sales or profit?
No. Sales, yeah, it's total sales. And just that line item. We have an issue, our challenge, I would never say an issue, right? Why did I bring it from tradition? We have a challenge with our grill. It's a very small grill, and it has been down now for 2 weeks because they had it sent out for a part. It's a $37,000 self-contained grill. In the past 3 months, I put a new filter in it. That was $1,000 for a filter. And it's all because it's self-contained, and now they have a special part that they had to order out. So, you know, I went out and literally bought a flat griddle. I have a fryer that I bought for 40, you know, and we're sitting there, and that's where we're doing our French fry. We go across and into the banquet hall and boil our grease there to get our French fries in. So, and that's just happened this month, but we're still selling. So once I would like to be running on all cylinders, but I mean, that little grill, it gets pounded, it's getting pounded, and it really puts out really nice for 4 to 6 people you can get, but I think it just gets beat.
Okay, let's go on maybe a minute. You guys want to look at this over and bring it back for the next meeting, or you want to make a vote on this, what you'd like to do?
Chris, were you happy to satisfy this?
Personally, I'd like to see a P&L. I'm just a P&L guy. If I can see a P&L, that'd be great. I'm not sure it's going to do anything. I mean, there's, you know, again, I think P&Ls are where it's at. And I just don't like to see any city-operated business lose money, you know, personally. And I think it could be shipped out easily. And, you know, whether we should be an F&B business and expanding an F&B business, we already said we should be selling crackers and soda, we make more money, and we're expanding F&B business.
Well, but you want to provide, I mean, the reason we're in the business is we want to provide a full-service golf operation, just like at both golf courses, we want to provide a full-service golf operation. We want people to buy their food, be able to buy their food and beverage here. There's, and we knew that, and that was a decision that the city made that, you know, we don't want to, and we had that snack bar closed down for a little while.
Let me put this in. Thursday, we had our baccarat with seven other courses, six other courses, but ours was seven. We did they did the catering. They absolutely did a beautiful job. Everybody remarked about how good the food. They did the breakfast, and they did our lunch, and all the girls going out was very happy about it, and it was great. We didn't have to pay extra for the room. We didn't have to go out and get a caterer. It was excellent, and Jason heard him talking about it, too, going out. All the girls were, and the food was good. We had fried chicken, the garlic mashed potato, the medley vegetable, coleslaw, good little cream cheese things, you know, and breakfast. She did a wonderful breakfast, and everybody was happy. And it was great. And it saved us money by going to you guys and having it done. So I'm all for that.
We'll build a reputation with, you know, things of this nature, and we'll build up momentum. And where we'll start making money is when we have, when we purchase for weddings, and we can turn around and do some specials and things of that nature, which we don't really have the luxury now. Right now we are the grill, and we get waste. We get stuff because you make hot dogs and you're capable. But so since we've been doing this, that's been lower. Everything's been improving. It's not like this for us. I mean, it's we are re-educating people immensely. They have been so used to coming there and, oh, I just get a cheap room and then I bring my own caterer. I mean, this is what I was doing coming over here. I think I left them in my car. Hope I did because I need them. I mean, I answer 12 inquiries every 2 days. I'm getting 12 inquiries from phone calls or on the internet, and I am calling back. And if I book one out of there, that's really good. But I'll guarantee you that 8 of them get stumped when I say, well, I'm sorry, we're the caterer now. While you can bring one, we'll let you bring a couple things that we can't do like Grandma does, but, you know, we want you to look at our menu.
Yeah, I get all that. I mean, trust me, I do. Being in the business is a very competitive business. There's a lot of caterers in Macau that are really good and very price competitive. You're going to have a really hard time competing with those venues and those caterers. I'm just being real frank with you. And let's say we were doing 94, let's say we had 100,000, I'm rounded up to 100,000 in 6 months. Say a chef costs you, I don't know, 60 a year these days, give or take, with benefits and everything else. Well, your chef's at 30% of your labor costs right there. That's without a single employee working. The numbers won't work. I mean, realistically, if you look at if you do a study of it, you have to get to 750 to even be break even.
Yeah, and we're talking about that with the food and beverage manager and what level to hire that at and how to handle the catering, whether we contract it out or not. But the difference is those caterers, they don't have, here's the difference between us and a lot of caterers in town, is we have a facility. So, and a lot of places don't allow you to bring your own caterer in. So that's where they're making their money, is on the catering. So we want to be, if there's money to be made on food and beverage in our facility, why would we not want that money to go back to our facility?
Because we have all the expenses. Because there's money to be lost in food and beverage in your facility. That's my point.
The same money the caterer can make, which obviously there's money to be made because that's their business. The same money they can make, why can't we make it?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. This catering involves a lot of scale. You have to have scale. And establishing that scale takes years and years. Without the scale, they can't make money. These caterers are basically paying themselves a salary, and that's it. I know all the catering people in town. They're paying themselves a salary. They're working their ass off 80 hours a week to pay themselves a salary and make a little bit of money. They're not making a ton of money. And it's a very hard competitive business. And just like golf's a hard competitive business. I mean, it's really a hard, partners is better than anybody. Golf's a hard competitive business, Clark. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
It's hard. And catering, and Clark's an expert. I've known Clark for 20 years. Clark's an expert in the business. And catering, it's a hard competitive business with really people are good at cutting each other's throats all the time on pricing and everything else. That's what I do. It's a hard competitive business if you don't have the right management. And Jason's not supposed to be managing the catering business. He's a general manager. You have to, get a manager who knows what he's doing, can compete with those people, cost a lot of money. And then the chef can compete with those people, cost a lot of money. And then to establish a scale to pay for those two people is almost impossible for a place of your size. It's hard to explain the scale that's involved. Almost impossible for the city to run a successful catering/golf course.
Right. But we have the expense, whether we run the first food and beverage event out of there regardless.
Take 10% off the top, ship it out.
And we've talked, that's what we're looking at, is if you bring in catered, we're talking about specialty. We can do hamburgers and hot dogs all day long. We are talking about some of those specialty operations, you know, the specialty menus, and just, we get that we can't be everything to everybody. And making those to where they could cater those out, but they have to pay a catering fee to use the kitchen. So.
I mean, it's an interesting conversation, but like I said, I don't want to keep the meeting going any longer than it has to be. I'm just warning you what this can turn into in terms of a lot of things. So you start putting the capital into it, grills cost money, like you said, things break down, you have to pay all this equipment, you have to pay a chef and an F&B manager, and then you go in the off season. Shoot, the caterers are going to be killing each other in the off season. And then the economy goes bad on top of that, and then it gets even worse. These guys are selling stuff for $10 a head all day long.
Let's go back to what we want to do and get off this thing.
That's what I said.
We got the time. Do you want them to go ahead and make a report to us back in July like this?
Or maybe we go away, like Kathy said, think about it, Mel and George aren't.
Think about it and then come to George and then think about it.
And they already prepare a P&L statement for us, so I mean, we can bring the next one in.
Okay.
Clark doesn't, so that's a report that Clark will have to prepare.
I would love to see a simple sheet with the numbers on it, right? So I don't have to write it all.
I have a P&L statement. I have a
quote. So if you just do that.
I mean, I like this simple sheet.
I don't care what part.
If it's not, if it's not a ton of trouble.
So that's great. We get a dollar a year from Hartman.
Well, I disagree with you. We have a facility that's being operated. We have a requirement to make sure that it's being operated.
All right. Well, okay, guys, we're going to wait one more time. Let George and Mel see this and then vote.
My bad. Sorry.
Okay, Clark, first tee.
All right, I'll do that real quick. Marion Junior Cup, which you were posting as well, was yesterday. That's a culmination of the first tee, the Marion County Junior Golf Tour is like a subsidiary of the first tee of Greater Ocala. But anyway, we have probably 30 to 40 events a year now, junior golf events at various golf courses around Marion County primarily. Anyway, the culmination of it is they keep points, the whole thing, and the kids kind of come up with the idea and the adults kind of help them out with it. But this was the second one, and it was Saturday here at Pine Oaks and Sunday at Ocala. And it's a Ryder Cup type junior golf event. There's 8 on the white team and 8 on the blue team, and I was the red team because I was one of the officials. And it's just a neat event that they do. The points decides who gets on the team each year. So that's just a small part of what goes on with it. Currently in the spring programming, there's a total of about 200 kids in the first team programming, which would include the girls golf out at Cameron Hills, which Denise Mullen is very good about helping us out with it. And then of course we have Saturday programming here. There's like 3 classes here on Saturday. And then there's various classes during the week over at Ocala Golf Club. Summer camps are coming up. There's going to be 3 summer junior golf camps. If y'all want dates for that, but I can give them to you real quick.
If you email me those dates, dang it.
Well, Chris should do that. He's our executive director. But it's June the 6th, the week of June the 6th, the week of July the 11th and the week of July the 25th, we're hosting week-long
junior golf camps, but they're, I'm not running them. I'll help them. I'll provide the room and basically the cost of it. But Chris and the First Tee program is running those camps. There's three of them this year, this summer. And they're open to any kid that wants to get in them. They don't have to be in the First Tee program, but that would be something that...
So, just so you know, for future reference, we can advertise that in our Family Times ad.
Well, Chris is doing that, I thought, with
I feel
Vicky.
Like he just gives her very general information.
Yeah, okay, well, we need to get that to you then.
I don't think we get... where are we at now, May?
Might be okay for the next two, the May.
Maybe
one,
for July.
Yeah, I can... And then we had a very unique event this past Thursday. You may or may not have heard about it, but it was called Bridals, Birdies, and Barbecue.
I was just going to ask you, how did that go?
It was, I would say it was successful. You know, first time events are tough. You really never know exactly, but it went real well. It was out at the Florida Horse Park, which for me personally, that was the first time I'd ever been there. I'd never been on that road before. What an unbelievable facility down there. I was so impressed with that. It's 500 acres down there. And Sean Darty is the manager of it.
Yeah.
But there was another event going on while we were doing ours. He said sometimes they have as many as 5 equestrian events going on at one time. That thing is so big.
Where's that there?
It's called the Florida Horse Park, 475, going down towards Bellevue. Anyway, so but our event went real well. It was well attended, probably 100 people. Could have been more, but we had food and entertainment, and we raised some money for the program, and it was just a unique thing. I've never heard of it. There was some horse equestrian type competition going on at the same time. We had a little fun golf thing going on with the snack golf equipment that the kids use, and it was kind of funny. But I think the ones that come had a good time. So we'll probably do it again next year.
Is that it? Okay, association reports, and I guess I'm the only one from the 9 holders from Muni, Cal Golf Corp, I should say. We had 117 girls on Thursday, and as I mentioned, the girls all liked the food, and it was really, really good. The weather was great. The golf course was in excellent shape. Everybody was remarking about that, except one poor girl that got in the sand trap. But anyway, it was really good, and it was just great. So that's all I can say about that. So, and there's no way for the men's, I guess. So comments from the board, okay?
I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yep.
I'm good. I don't want to be way more of a pain. If anybody can't see that, it's problematic that a golf course has put in that much into a renovation twice now and loses money for the first 6 months they're open during the middle of the season with the off-season coming. That's problematic.
I think any golf course that has the overhead that this golf course has, I think there's lots of golf courses around Florida that lose money. So no, I don't think it's a problem. And I think that municipal golf courses in general, a lot of them lose money. Matter of fact, most of them don't make money. So
is that not a problem? I mean,
no,
I
just, apparently not, or golf, we wouldn't have municipal golf.
Has Muni ever really made money? Mm-hmm. A county golf club?
None of our golf courses have made money. At the times that they did make money, we were selling off property. We had $200,000 contributions from the Water and Sewer Fund to offset them. I mean, so...
So what you're saying is really having a golf course for the city is more of a service than it is.
Sure, just like your...
Just like your parks
and your pools and...
Just
your rec centers.
Yeah, but Clark's done a great job out here. We'll probably provide a better product and we don't lose money out here anymore.
You honestly think Pine Oaks is a better product than Ocala Golf Club?
Better product than what Pine Oaks was before Clark took over, for sure.
Oh.
Yeah, for sure. Not than Ocala Golf Club, no.
And I'm not going to get into a debate about whether Pine Oaks is a better product than before Clark took over, because obviously the asset is deteriorating and we haven't made investments in it, whether that's Clark, that's on the Clark and the city. But when you asked a question last time about paying the money to Billy Casper Golf, and when you add Jason's salary and what we paid to Billy Casper Golf, Clark took home just as much money last year. So I don't think that we're making, that our investment in what we get out of the Billy Casper Group at Ocala Golf Club is astronomical.
Yeah.
But I think that clearly everyone will agree that we require, we set the standard for Billy Casper Golf. They don't set the standard. Billy Casper Golf can make money at Ocala Golf Club. The question is, are we willing to accept the golf course that we're going to have when that happens? We continue to make investments in that course, in our agronomic plan, that they don't provide at some of their other golf courses. And if we were willing to accept that level of maintenance, then we probably could turn a profit, but we're not willing to accept that.
Well, with the girls that I played with Thursday, two was from Eagle Ridge. They've had a turnover on their manager. The golf course has gone like this. Now they're trying to get it back up again. Spruce Creek Preserve has went the same way. They're losing, girls are not playing out there. Rainbow Springs closed up. We still have four girls from there, but that will be their, this will be their last year playing in the golf around. And you talk with these guys, you know, I think our course is doing great.
It's a living, breathing facility. And so you have to, we have to take care of it. And obviously the health of that facility is going to be highly dependent on what we invest in it every single year, not just every 5 to 10 years. And at Pine Oaks in particular, and the city made a decision, gosh, back in 2006 when we did we brought a consultant in to evaluate both courses, and the city made a decision that they could only afford to renovate one golf course. And that at that time, we didn't even know if we were gonna stay in business out here. We had a committee together to evaluate whether to close this golf course down. At Ms. Rich's prompting, we decided to put it out and see if anyone wanted to take it over and just
live
it out.
I remember all that.
And so, Clark.
But I played here too. I like both courses.
And Clark has stepped up. He's come out here.
Yes.
You know, he basically said to council this last year that we're kind of at the end of how far we can drag this. We've been limping along, and we are going to need to make some decisions. And council is making those decisions. Do they want to invest $2.5 million in it at this point? No. But we believe that if we could just make, you know, put a couple hundred thousand dollars into it. And I don't mean a couple hundred thousand, literally.
Well, there's no other thing that we don't have a motion to adjourn.
It'll be minimal.
I'll stop now.
Yeah, I forgot. That's my one comment. I'm very excited about that, the potential upgrade of Pine Oaks. That's exciting stuff.
Yeah. Well, it just shows, I think what's exciting about it to us is that it shows that council, because we aren't even pushing, it isn't even that we were really pushing this hard. Clark went up and gave his report, made it clear where we were, and everyone gets it. It's just that, you just get it. And so, but the fact that they're even considering making the investment, and they haven't voted on it yet, but the fact that they're even considering making the investment tells you, it gives me hope, because it shows that they plan on keeping it open for a while.
But the council would have to approve that money, right?
Yes.
Just like Muni?
Yep.
Now we don't have John McLeod on the board, so that might make
it. Yeah, that's
we have the arts guy on the board. So you may have lost one vote.
I want to say Clark does a good catering too, because he catered our club champion. He's going to come.
Great sandwiches though, because every time I come out here and have sandwiches, I'm the egg salad person, but they've been out of that the last.
The only thing is, these girls don't want chicken, and I like a hamburger patty. Yeah. So I have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Got that.
Did Mary Sue Rich vote for the upgrade to Muni for the championship?
Yeah.
For the 300,000.